afternoon, Coach. How you doing?
Pretty good, Glenn. Pete, Steve, Fred.
Coach.
How you guys
you look
doing?
Refreshed.
Good bye week?
Pretty good, yeah.
Worked out
pretty
all right good. For you?
Yeah, good. Well, you know, two of the three AFC team, East teams lost, so that's good.
Well, one of them had to win, right?
That's
that was,
right.
It was part of the deal that had to win.
One is the one we hate the most.
You ever see a crazy game like that Miami Jet game yesterday where the Jets, if you looked at the box score, thought they might win 40 to nothing?
Yeah, well, you know, three returns for touchdowns. Usually when you have one, that's statistically, that's the difference in the game. To have three in one game, that's pretty unusual. So would have been hard not to win with, you know, a fumble and two kickoff returns. But that's the NFL. It's crazy. Yeah.
You always talk about being balanced. You know, what percentage of the plays are special teams? 25%, 20%?
Right, yeah, usually about between 30 and 35 a game. Yeah, with about 120. On offense, defense, so sure.
Yeah, so when you have that many, and how many times in special teams can you have a huge play? That one 100-yard rush is like, you know, half your offense.
That's right. Yeah, two of them, that's, you know, it's probably worth, you know, 15, 20 plays on offense. So.
Easily.
What have you found as your experience with these bye weeks? The guys go away for 3-4 days, they come back, or some guys when you're – first day when you're working out, you're looking at them saying, uh-oh, that was a rough weekend for that guy right there.
You know, I think for the most part, they do a pretty good job. You know, they were back in today lifting, working out, and we'll meet with them tomorrow and get going on Miami. So, you know, they're back in the routine a little bit today.
In the past, you've had, it seems like you've had a more veteran teams than you have this year. Was there any certain words to the younger guys about their off week this year?
Well, I think everybody knows, you know, what's at stake here. You know, we got Miami and you know, second half of the season. We're in decent position, but we got a lot of tough opponents coming up, you know, division games, couple undefeated teams. So we'll worry about all them later. But, you know, right now in Miami and you know, we know that's a big game. So we got to win the division.
What exactly was your schedule for the week? How many days? 3 days off?
Yes, players are off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they came back in, lifted, ran today. And then we'll be back on the field tomorrow.
If you had your choice, would this week you like to, you know, the bye week or later on? It's terrible at the end of the year, obviously, and terrible at the beginning of the year.
Well, I think any time it comes, everybody's happy to have it. And if you have it early in the year after, you know, 4 weeks of training camp, 5 weeks of training camp, two or three games like we had it last year, that was good. If you have it in the middle of the season, that's good. So whenever it comes, I think every team kind of enjoys that little bit of break between preparation and just the mental part of it, the game plans, the adjustments, the preparation and all that, and also a little bit of the physical break. So, you know, it's good to have a couple of days.
Did you ever have anyone blow up, like, I mean, got really heavy, 10 or 15 pounds, just a week off.
Just the coaches, yeah.
Did you work out those two running backs today, reportedly, with Maurice Hicks and Marcus Mason?
We worked out some backs, worked out some tight ends. We worked out, I think, about 11 or 12 guys last week because of the, you know, bye week, just getting caught up on some guys, both workouts, physicals, just, you know, seeing where people are. There's obviously some changes from where guys were. In September when they were released by teams or maybe they had injury situations, and we just wanted to stay on top of that. So it's kind of a normal bye week thing.
Chambers, would you think of bringing him in for a peek?
You know, I guess that was on the wire a few minutes ago. I haven't really, yep. Haven't really investigated
at, yet. At $2.4 million, which is what, is that feasible? Or is it too much? If you had to. If you really liked him, could you fit him in with that salary?
Yeah, I think we would have the cap space to do it, but you know, we have other priorities too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something we haven't even talked about. I don't really know what the situation is there.
How would you evaluate your team where you are? Have you spent time with the coaches this week, going through various aspects of it and saying where we are, where we need to be?
Well, we need to be better in a lot of areas, and that's always the case. So. Yeah, we looked at some of the things we've done, trying to find ways to improve it. You know, certainly the red area is always a good place to start, both sides of the ball, and third down. Even though statistically we're not bad, you know, we could be better there. So looking for scoring more points, giving up fewer, keeping the ball in third down situations, two-minute. You know, our special teams always for better coverage, more big plays, explosive plays in the return game. So, you know, the running game, the run defense. All, you know, everything.
Is there any specific place that you feel you're ahead of schedule on?
Well, I don't really know what ahead or behind schedule is. It's just you evaluate how you've done. And, well, But I don't think you go sit at the beginning of the year and say, well, I think we're going to, you know, I hope we're ranked, you know, 10th in rush defense after the mid. You kind of go with what you got. You look at it and you say, okay, here's things we need to do better. We need to coach this better. We're calling too much of this, not enough of that. We need to, you know, maybe change the person all around a little bit. You know, we get this guy doing something a little better that he does, and maybe have this guy doing something a little less, something that he doesn't do quite as well, or whatever the case might be. So, you know, we look at our tendencies, man, zone, run, pass, inside, outside, protections, and just, you know, general, try to, you know, take a look at things that are working and maybe find a way to do more of them or do them and play into our strengths, and things that aren't going as well, we either get rid of them or find a way to correct them.
We have this conversation with you every year about how long it takes for teams to figure out teams or to find out what your team is all about. And I remember in the past you've said you really start feeling it like game 9, 10, 11, that area. We were talking about this earlier. Every year people go ballistic early on in the season. The team goes on, wins the first three, wins the first five. Wow, there they are. They're the Super Bowl. Who's going to play the Giants in the Super Bowl this year? Because they got off to that quick start. Now they've lost three in a row. Barring injuries, because injuries we know are all part of it and take your play down. What are the other factors that change a team dramatically from early in the season to where we are now going for the next 3 or 4 weeks, getting into where you really start to learn?
Well, I think after you've seen a team play 5 or 6 games, Glenn, you really can see what that team is. You've had enough matchups against those teams, different types of players, fast players, bigger players, quicker players, different schemes. And so you see, you know, after 5 or 6 games, how they match up against certain things. And so, you can attack them, or you find a certain way you want to attack them, and people see the same thing with you. And so I think you find much more of a equilibrium at that point in the year, barring injuries. You find much more of an equilibrium at that point in the year in terms of, you really know what the other team is, what their strengths, what their weaknesses are. You know what yours are, and then you try to, play from there. And that's not always as evident in the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Sometimes you just get, mismatched one way or the other, and things look either real good or real bad, and that could easily be an aberration. Not always, but it could be. So I think you got to be careful after, just a few samples. But, after you've been through a third or now almost half the season in some cases, so some teams have played 8 games now, that's a pretty good look at where things are at.
Hold on 1 second to follow up. When a team's weakness is exposed and you've got the video and everybody is seeing it, does that become even a bigger problem in that they better strengthen that up because teams now have really exploiting that one weakness of theirs?
Yeah, well, if you know there's a weakness, or if a team knows it has a weakness, then, usually they'll do something to try to address that. That may, create issues somewhere else. Or if they don't address it, then, it's probably going to continue to be an issue because, it, like you said, it hasn't been exposed. So, a lot of times as you're trying to stop one thing, that opens up some opportunities somewhere else. Now, whether or not you can hold up there or not, that often remains to be seen, or it depends on the team that you're playing, how well they can attack those other areas. So that's part of it, too.
Well, some of the tendencies teams can't stop because, like I say, a quarterback has a habit, and if you change it, he won't function as well. So how much difference would it make you playing a guy, say a Sanchez, that you haven't really seen anything on compared to playing him down the stretch where he has things that he does that you can make him bite into?
Well, yeah, I think, again, Fred, it's more of a case of, if you see quarterbacks having trouble with pressure, or you see quarterbacks having trouble with tight man coverage, or you see the quarterback or passing games having trouble with zone coverage, too deep zone, rolling into receivers, things like that, that sort of hurts a lot of their concepts in the passing game, then that's something that they're probably going to see more of, or you might want to, even if it's not something you do a lot of, it might be something that you might want to do against that particular team. So that's more what I'm talking about. I don't think you're going to, take a player and, change them dramatically at this point in the year. But, some things match up better against some teams than others. And, they have trouble with stunts or particular type blitzes, with defensive back blitzes of their protections or whatever. Then, more likely they'll see more of them.
At the halfway point, any surprises from your team in terms of your players specifically?
I don't know if they're surprises. I mean, I think we knew that we were going to have some young players on defense and some new players on defense. And I think, some of those guys have performed well. And we have, overall, a fairly young group that I think is, you know, is coming together on the practice field and in games as far as communication and, you know, being a little bit faster team, not getting up a lot of big plays on defense. That's something that, you know, that's been a little bit of a problem for us the last couple of years. But so far we've, you know, done better in that area. So, you know, our newer players on defense, you know, I think we all kind of knew what Vince and, you know, Ty Warren and Mayo, I mean, even though he's a younger player, but, you know, guys that have stepped in there like, you know, Guyton and McGowan and, you know, corners. You know, all the, you know, those guys that have gotten a chance to play a lot and I think have, you know, overall done a pretty good job. We're playing a lot of people on defense, playing 15, 16 guys on defense. So, you know, we've got some rotations going in there. Everybody's contributed and, you know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, play well and keep the points down.
How is Vince Wilfork playing compared to previous years?
I think Vince is having a good year. Mm-hmm. He's having a real good year.
Yep, looks like it.
Ty Warren was on the show earlier today with Dale and Holly. He seems pretty confident he'll be able to play on Sunday. You feel the same way?
It is.
Well, we'll see what happens when he gets out there and practices. I hope every player will be ready to play.
Yeah.
You know, we're certainly – I know these guys have worked hard and got a lot of treatment. You know, everybody's trying to get back out there on the field. So, you know, we'll see where everybody is.
How much more can you evaluate? Obviously, you'll have more time. But you go over your tendencies consistently during the season. This is a good time to kind of polish up and make sure you can change some of the things that you've had tendencies for.
Right. We go over it on a weekly basis. But I think during the bye week, you can look at it, you know, a little more carefully. And not just look at the numbers, but also look at the actual plays themselves and really see how effective or ineffective certain things are. Just, you know, sometimes a play can statistically not look good, but when you actually look at it, you say, well, there's really a lot of good things going on here. It's just this one block or that one block, or, you know, we're really close here. This isn't something we want to move away from. It's something we want to, you know, keep working harder at to get. And then there are other plays you look at and you say, well, we've given this a chance, we've tried, and, you know, it's just not working. I think we got other things that are going to be better for us. So,
like some of the plays that didn't materialize, you know, long bombs to Moss, a few of them, those were wide open, good plays. Looking back at that stuff, does it kind of get a knot in your stomach saying, God, we're so close on so many plays to winning those?
Well, I think when you look back on 5, 6, 7 games like we have, you know, there's always a handful of plays that you think, boy, we could have just, we're so close on that play, you know, or just missed the tackle or, you know, just hit the quarterback just as he released the ball or have a guy open and can't hit him or drop a ball or whatever it is, you know, one block away on a return. So, sure, there's a number of those kind of plays that you know, you're close on. But I think that reinforces to the team and to the staff, you know, we just got to keep working hard. If we can just get that one, you know, that one last little part of it, then, you know, huge things will happen. And that's, you know, that's always an emphasis point in the bye week is just do a few little things a little bit better to make a big difference.
Your teams have had great success record-wise in the game after the bye week. Is there a secret to all of this? Is it the time off? Is it longer time spent putting together a game plan?
Well,
or is it just coincidence?
Well, I think when you win games in this league, it's because players play well. And, you know, when players play well, whatever the plays are, they usually work better. So, games that we've won, it's because players have played well, whether that be early in the season, after a bye week, late in the season, in the postseason, whatever it is. When the players play well, we usually win.
Coach, how much have you learned since you were a young pup as a head coach to how you treat the players?
You called him old last week, I think. Now you're calling him young.
He looks young today.
That's why he's calling.
Wow.
Well, how much have you learned about how to treat them, how much time off, and how much different are you right now than you were when you first started as far as dealing with the off week?
I've probably loosened up a little bit. Kind of got a country club atmosphere around here.
Country,
now,
you know?
we used to run a tough program, and now things are
not like the
relaxed.
Old days, right?
No, that's right. Not like that.
Look what it did to me and the Aussie.
What?
But I think as you know, the longer you coach, I think you have an appreciation for really how physical the game is, how much the players go through their training, and also you know, the actual plays, you know, practice plays, game plays. You know, it certainly takes a toll, and there's nothing more important than the health of our team. Nothing. Without a healthy team, there is no team. So that's always a priority. So to be healthy and to be fresh and you know, to be able to go out there and perform at our best, that's the number one thing. Now, you know, you have to practice and you have to work at it and have timing and all that. So, I mean, we just can't sit around and think about it. We actually got to go out there and work at it. But having everybody healthy and taking care of our players, particularly some of the veteran players, the guys that have played a lot of snaps, is you know, that's definitely a priority. I don't want to say it wasn't a priority, but it's probably become more of one as I've aged in the coaching profession.
Did you watch a lot of games yesterday, and did you get caught up in the Brett Favre Green Bay?
You know, I saw a little bit of the first half of the Jets Miami game, and then
got sick, and then
that was about it for that. But you know, I'm watching the game on tape today, and so that's really better anyway. But it was good to see a little bit, you know, see somebody else worry about third and long, and you know, worry about their punt protection, and that stuff.
It is amazing when you look at Brett Favre, and I think most of the country. We were talking about this earlier, probably hoping that he lost because he keeps on coming back and doesn't want to give the game up. You got a quarterback in Tom Brady who's already said he wants to play this game well into his years. Is he the type of quarterback you could see playing the game deep into his career here? That we could see him out there like Brett Favre at age 40?
Well, I wouldn't count Tom out on anything. I think that my experience with players has been that, you know, they all probably want to play a little bit longer than they probably can play effectively. You know, it's always hard to walk away from the game. You know, some of them do, Teddy Bruschi's and a lot of them, you know, don't. They continue to play as long as they possibly can. And, you know, that's a personal preference. So
they limp away.
How each player, you know, how their game goes as they, you know, accelerate each year. I think, you know, I've learned through the years that there's no formula on that. Some guys decline very gradually. Some guys decline at more of an even pace. Other guys decline very quickly. And that's or something happens that their performance changes. And that's I think that's uncharted for each individual. You just have to – I just try to evaluate it as I see it as a coach and you know, do the best I can to, you know, to evaluate it fairly. But there's no way to really know how that's gonna go. Some guys, you know, seem to be able to play at the same level for quite a while. Other guys – don't, and so it's really hard to predict how it's going to go.
One of the factors would probably be is if guys work out consistently. You know, you can take some time off, but you got to keep maintaining the cardio and lifting. So when you get older, you can't catch up. You can't go off for 2 months and then start up again.
Yeah, and that can certainly be a factor. But sometimes it's just we had a guy at the Giants that was in a Pro Bowl 1 year, and he worked hard, and he was one of our best players, and a year and a half later, he was out of the league, and he was 30 years old. So, you know, that's sometimes it just happens. I don't know. I'm not sure I can explain it, but I think we all know when we see it.
I was able to just start out mediocre, and when you decline, you don't really notice that big a difference.
You brought great sandwiches to the table.
Said Pro Bowl when we knew it wasn't you.
I know exactly what you're talking about, too, though.
I do, too.
No, you don't.
It's fat. Let me take a quick 90-second break, and then we'll get into this week's opponent, the Miami Dolphins, talking with the coach down here with Patriots Monday on the Big Show. All right, back here on the Big Show, it's Patriots Monday. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Fred's here, Steve's here, Pete's here, and, of course, the coach, Bill Belichick, is with us as well. Before we break down Miami, have you seen a change in the way teams are starting to defend the Wildcat? It almost seems like they're willing to give up with Brown, willing to give up that pass back there. They seem to be sending that safety up, and they're causing havoc. It looks like New Orleans started doing that 2 weeks ago, and the Jets seem to do a lot more of that the same. Or have teams been doing that before, Bill?
I think that the more you see an offense, the easier it is to prepare for it, and the harder it is for the offense to come up with, you know, new things or things that really catch off balance. And New Orleans and the Jets both did a pretty good job of defending it. I felt like last year when we played them in the second game, we played it obviously a lot better. Yeah, we played it right in the first game. So, you know, the more you see something, the more that a defense can prepare for it, generally speaking, the better that they'll, you know, they'll perform on it. And, you know, both teams did a little bit of penetration from the outside, you know, bringing perimeter people. And that they happened to hit a couple outside plays to that side, so there were some negative plays, and that of course, always makes it look bad. Miami didn't really run a lot of it in the second half against New Orleans and then didn't use it a whole lot yesterday.
They seem to be – Miami comes out like gangbusters. You know, they put up a ton of yardage and dominated the game against the Colts. Colts hit some big plays. They dominated the first half against New Orleans and then kind of – fade a little bit in the second half. Are they fading, or the other team just figuring them out as they go along? Because it looks like they're putting a little bit of pressure on the quarterback, and then they – I don't know if they're getting tired or just the plays that were missing the first half were being hit.
Well, I mean, offensively, I thought that they, you know, they played wire to wire against Indy. Yeah. You know, Indy just came back and scored one more time than they did, but they moved the ball on them in the second half, and of course they came back and beat the Jets in New York. You know, on the last whatever it was, play of the game, two plays of the game, whatever it was, they drove the length of the field. So I don't think it's, I think whatever it is coincidental. I don't think it's any lack of effort or lack of plays or playmakers or scheme or anything else. Some games they've won at the end. They certainly finished strong in the Buffalo game. They started fast and finished very strong. So I don't know. I think they're a good football team. I think they present a lot of problems. They're very physical. They're good against the run, both sides of the ball, run defense, and they can run the ball. They're explosive. Got some fast guys, some big play guys in the return game. And on defense, Porter and, of course, Taylor and Roth and Wake. And, you know, they've got several, you know, those outside rushers, Anderson, you know, all guys that can rush the passer from the edge. And they've got some good inside players like Starks and Merling and Langford, and so they're a good solid team all the way across the board. Two young corners who are playing well, Jones and Davis, and you know they're starting to get this Clemens in there, the safety they drafted from Clemson. So they're you know kind of a, got some new faces on defense, got some younger guys, got some fast guys, and they're tough to run against. They're very physical up front.
Has their offense changed at all with Henny as opposed to Pennington?
I think it's basically the same offense, Steve. I just think Pennington, you know, did a real good job of checking plays at the line of scrimmage, and he saw a lot before the ball was snapped and got the ball off very quickly. He was very confident, read things quickly, and got the ball out of there. I think that, you know, Henny's probably not quite at that execution level, but, you know, he's certainly made his fair share of plays, and I thought the Jet game was very impressive the way he drove him, you know, length of the field on that last drive, hitting a third and 10, and you know, hitting the big pass again down there. That was a great throw over Rivas and Kerry Rhodes, two of the best, you know, defensive backs in this division. So,
do you think that Pennington was more willing to give up the big play to make the secure play as opposed to Henny looking more for the bigger play? Or it's...
No, I think they both look. You know, they take 4, 5, 6 shots every game, plays that are designed to hit the home run. You know, they're not little, you know, 5, 6 yard passes. They're designed to go deep and. They do a pretty good job of calling them at the right time or getting what they're looking for. Some they hit, some they don't. Sometimes they're covered. But they, you know, they do a good job of mixing it up in there, and you got to be careful because they'll definitely try to toss it up over your head, you know, a number of times in the game. And they've got some plays. You know, Hartline has become a little bit more of a player for them on that. And, of course, we know Ginn's is a deep threat. So, you know, they run some plays where they spread you out and try to, you know, get the guys down the middle like Fasano. And so you got Ricky Williams, you know, and they run a lot of outside runs. So, you know, when those guys get outside like Brown and Williams, they could chew up a lot of yards in a hurry.
Getting back to the Wildcat, the fact that they haven't used it as much or teams have defended it well in the last couple of games.
Well, I'd just say, Glenn, that if it's working, they use it a lot.
Yeah.
Like Indianapolis.
Right.
If it's not going as well, then they, you know, they go to something else. But regardless, defensively, it forces you to waste a lot of time on it.
Right.
And you don't know whether you're going to get it 20 plays or 5, but you got to prepare for it.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. If they haven't had a lot of success in the last couple of weeks, if teams have started to figure out, would you interpret that as they may come up with a wrinkle in this one? Now, I remember they used Pat White at the end of that Colts game. I was surprised to see it. 2 minutes left in the game, hadn't played at all. Now they bring him out onto the field, and obviously they had some success with him. You're familiar, obviously, with him because you brought him in here at one time. Is that something that you might anticipate them doing, coming up with a wrinkle off of that Wildcat?
They pretty much have a new wrinkle off it every week, Glenn. They have some different wrinkle, whether it's on balance line, Pat White, Ricky Williams is the Wildcat guy, Ronnie Brown, two backs in the backfield, one back in the backfield, no backs in the backfield. They do a lot of different things. Pat White, they've used him just about every game as part of their Wildcat package. So they give you a lot of different things to prepare for. It's not just one formation or one play. It's a lot of different looks, and that's kind of their offense. They use a lot of different personnel groupings and a lot of formations, and the ones they've used in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you can almost guarantee we're not going to see those. So you watch film their last few games and the formations that they run. Aren't the ones you're going to see. It'll be the same plays, basically, because it doesn't change for them, but the formation is different, so it affects your calls and affects some of your adjustments and that kind of thing. So that's what they do. They mix it up pretty good.
So as they start to unfold new stuff as the game progresses on,
tailor-made
take,
stuff.
Take us through what's going on with the communication with you and the guys upstairs. How are you figuring this out and making those adjustments?
Well, this will be an important game for adjustments because one of the things that Miami will do is whatever they run, that'll be kind of the game plan for that game. So what they did against the Jets, what they did the week before against New Orleans, what they did a week before against that, against Buffalo or the Jets or San Diego or the other games, what they do within that game is pretty well contained. So if their game plan is to be on balanced line, then you're going to get a number of plays on it because they want to see your adjustment and then have some stuff against it. Or if it's empty, then they're going to give you some empty plays and see what you're doing against it and then come back and attack it. But so once we see those things, then we're going to have to do a good job of adjusting to them and saying, okay, well, this is what they got for us. You know, here's how they're going to play us and make sure that we, you know, do a good job of, you know, the players understand what that is and also what we got to defend. Maybe they'll use the same formations but move players around in different positions. So, you know, instead of Ted Ginn being at X, he's at Z, or instead of Best being in the slot, he's outside, or, you know, whatever it is to try to gain some kind of advantage.
And against Denver, they brought Kyle Orton back into the center from Wild. Have they done that a lot with Henny?
They haven't done that. No, they haven't done that. But that's definitely something that we should. You know, well, I mean, we've worked on that since the Denver game. Obviously, that's something we could easily see.
Do you think the formation itself is here to stay, or do you think it's kind of like a fad, and eventually it's going to?
It's like the forward pass.
As the Patriots and the Jets did yesterday, you're stopping it on a consistent basis. You think it's going to fade itself out, and then you're only going to see it once every, you know, five or six games as a gimmick play?
Well, I think it definitely creates problems in the running game because it gives you an extra blocker or another guy in the formation that you have to defend. You know, the more balanced the formation is, run, pass, inside, outside, the harder it is to defend. The less balanced it is, the more it's just one or two things, then, you know, defensively, the more you can zero in on that those couple targets. So I think when it's working well and they run inside, they run outside, they run the perimeter, they got a pass or two off it that they hit like they were doing last year, kind of hitting one in each game. The Ronnie Brown hit one, Pennington hit a flea flicker, things like that, then, that certainly gives it some momentum and forces you to defend more.
But you got to kind of roll the dice and figure the passing game is going to be limited with the halfback back then. It's not his game to throw the ball and bring guys up to offset the odds.
Oh sure, yeah. We know it's limited, but again, it creates problems for in the running game because they have an extra blocker or they have an extra guy instead of that quarterback that's part of the formation that gives them an extra a gap or an extra lead blocker that makes the play a little bit different than it normally would be. So they definitely gain some advantages in the running game. There's no question about that with an extra guy.
Will there be a few extra reps on kickoff coverage practice this week?
Absolutely.
After that display?
Yeah. We know Ted Ginn's tough, but we've had quite a run here on these kickoff return guys. You know, started with, of course, Buffalo and McKelvin, and we saw the Jets, Leon Washington. Yep. Last week, you know, Smith and Strouder of Tampa. So We've seen some good kickoff returners through the course of the season, and we'll see another good one this week. You know, that was great production they had in the Jets game, and we know Ginn had two or three of them last year. I know he had a couple called back, but you know he had two or three long ones like that, and I don't know if we have anybody that can catch him. I don't know if there's too many teams in the league that have more than one or two guys on their roster that could catch him. So. You know, you've got to keep him leveraged. You got to get him back inside once he hits the sideline. Like I said, just nobody's got enough players to catch that guy.
It looks like.
Did it surprise you that 3-0 Jets and 0-3 Miami have kind of switched places? Where Miami now seems like the team that is a better team and is more of a threat in the AFC East.
Well, it looks like Miami matches up pretty well against the Jets, but. You know, we got half the season left to go now, so it'll be interesting to see how things unfold. And, you know, like we've talked about, everybody's gotten a good look at everybody here going forward. And, you know, we'll see, you know, who plays the best football in November and December. That's what usually decides it. So that's what our goal is to try to, you know, play our best football here in the second half of the season. And as I said, I'm sure the team that plays the best in the AFC East, that'll be the team that's the champion.
I wonder if it's part of a rookie coach and rookie quarterback like the Jets. He didn't really know what they were going to do or any tendencies or his habits that gave them an advantage to start out 3-0.
Well, I think sometimes that can work to your advantage when the other teams really don't know what you're doing, and it can also work a little bit to your disadvantage because you just haven't had as much experience doing it. But, we know both those teams are good teams. They played two very close games. Both came down to the final possession in the red area, and once again – It came down to red area offense. Miami got it in and won, and the Jets didn't get it in. Miami held them, and therefore the Jets lost. And so you can't overemphasize that red area and third down stuff. And, you know, the red area really won two games for the Dolphins, and they're a good red area team, both sides of the ball. And, you know, if it comes down to a play or two like that every week, then those, you know, the team that makes them wins and the team that doesn't. It was on the short end.
Kind of felt bad for the big fella from the Jets, you know, rookie coach. Who's the...
Well, that's a good thing about when the two AFC East teams play. Somebody's got to lose. So
at least be happy for half of
them. There you go. You can be happy. Yeah. All right, Coach, back to work. Good luck coming up on Sunday. We'll talk to you back here on Monday.
You can take that dessert from Fred and Steve's.
Okay.
Chocolate cake.
Flourless chocolate cake.
So there are no calories or are there lots of calories?
It's none that you know of.
Zero calories, no carbs, no nothing.
Please, stop it, please.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you, Coach.